Brother Tureen did not know what, when he chose these songs, what I would be speaking on, but that last verse talks about bravely running the race. Where is that in the Bible? Let's run the race with patience. Hebrews chapter 12 in your Bibles, please. That's where we're looking. Hebrews chapter 12. I knew a lady who once, I've mentioned this before, did her dissertation, her doctoral dissertation, on tombstone epitaphs. She did a study of hundreds of epitaphs that she found on tombstones literally around the country. And her thesis was that what you read on tombstones reflected the society of that day, perhaps the emphasis that that person had in their upbringing, a summary of their life, and what people wanted to be remembered for. I've gone through old Southern cemeteries. In fact, my wife and I, when we went to Savannah, Georgia, a couple of years ago, we went through an old, old cemetery, some whose epitaphs could no longer be read. The stones were just so old. We saw tombs of those from the Revolutionary War. And just about a month ago, when I was in Alabama with my brother-in-law, we went to the local Huntsville Cemetery where there were a lot of Confederate soldiers buried. And it's just interesting to see the epitaphs, what people wrote about their loved ones or what their loved ones wanted written of them. If we could see the tombstones of the Old Testament saints, and I don't think any can be found, what would those tombstones say? Well, I think we have a record right here in Hebrews. Not the 12th chapter, but the 11th chapter. Much of what is said, it says, it talks about Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, and so forth. By the way, do you ever read the Old Testament, or do you just read the New Testament? And if you do go to the Old Testament, is it just the Psalms and the Proverbs, or do you read the other books of the Bible in the Old Testament? You're missing much spiritual help if you avoid certain books like Leviticus. People grimace. You're missing. You're missing if you don't read the book of Deuteronomy. You're missing if you don't read the book of Job. Romans 15:4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." And as you look in Hebrews chapter 11, if you're in chapter 12, you look back to chapter 11, and although each of these heroes of the faith had a different epitaph because of the circumstances that individual faced in his or her particular life, all together would give us the same message. What would be the message of these faithful men and women all together? What would they say to you and to me to help us endure life's hardship, to run the race? Because chapter 12 and verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing all we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us," and here it is, "and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." We are in a race. The word race there is the word agon, agony. We run an agony. It's a race that we are involved in. What would they say to you and me to help us endure life's hardships, to encourage us, to challenge us with what is important? Well, I think that's what you see in the very first verse. "Wherefore, based upon what's said in chapter 11, seeing we also," of course, this is the writer of Hebrews at the time he's writing it, but it is, and this is the New Testament period, but this is also applying to us, "seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us." Now, please understand something about what is being said here. Those who have passed on do not now bear witness of what we are now doing. That's how some people interpret this. Oh, they must be watching up there and watching what we're doing. And so sometimes people will say, well, my loved one passed on. I know they're looking down on me and watching what I'm doing. That's nowhere in the Bible. But some try to get that out of this passage. And that's not what this passage is talking about. They do not bear witness to what we are doing now, but they did bear witness as to how God will see us through by how God got them through. So they are not our spectators. They are our examples. Abraham is not a spectator to our life today. He is an example, and so forth through chapter 11. Their lives, in other words, still speak to us. Look at Abel in verse 4 of chapter 11. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. Here it is. And by it, he being dead yet, he is still speaking through his example. You know, there's something daunting, something intimidating about being the first one to do anything. I can't imagine what it would have been like to be an astronaut on that first spaceship going up. There's so many things that are unknown. I mean, as a kid, I never wanted to be an astronaut. I thought, how stupid. Why would I want to be shot up out into space? And that was the big thing when I was a kid. 1960s, you know, going to the moon and stuff like that. How many of you wanted to be an astronaut? Bruce, raise your hand. Right? I figured Bruce did. I never wanted to be. For one thing, it was the unknown. And I said, oh, you know, you go first, come back, tell me what it's like, and maybe I'll go. I want us to see that we are not the first ones to live a life dedicated to God. It's not like we're on this earth and we're going, wow, who's going to step out there first and live a life that's really dedicated to God? Folks, we have a bunch of, we have those who've already done it. Did Abraham live a life dedicated to God? Did Abel? Did Isaac? Did Jacob? Did Noah? Did Moses? Absolutely. So here we have these examples of those who have already run the race. What would they say to us? Well, wherefore, since we are so compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us, like they, set aside every weight. So here, I want to talk about the object of lay aside. Because us is the subject. The verb is lay aside. And the object of the verb is lay aside every, what's the first word? Weight. And what's the second one? And the sin that does so easily beset us. My point this afternoon being this, we need to be able to run with freedom. Let's look at that word weight. Let us lay aside every weight. A weight is something that's a hindrance. It's an impediment to an athlete. It might even be something that was legal, something that it is okay for you to do. Runners, I don't know if you knew this, but runners in ancient times would run practically naked. So that nothing, including clothing, would impede. Any extra weight that they had on them, they would get rid of it. You ever had an in-body scan done? Juanita and I had that done. What day was that? Friday? Thursday? Man, all of a sudden you find out you're carrying stuff around you don't need to. Because they have this ratio of muscle versus fat and everything. It's like, okay. You know. And so there's we all have impediments on us. And every one of us can probably take a part of our body. Ooh, man, there's stuff I need to get rid of right there. You go up to Benjamin and try to do that, and you can't grab anything. What was his 7% fat in his body? I'm like, no fat. Come on, eat something fat, kid. Good night. Moses would say, look at him in verse 26 of chapter 11. Moses would say that even the riches of Egypt were a distraction. Folks, riches can be a distraction. David would say, thank you, Saul, for your armor, but that is a distraction. That is an impediment. That is an unnecessary weight. We often are not as concerned about holiness as how close to the world we can get. But here's the rule for the Christian weight. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. It's every weight. But we sometimes justify running with weights because we see other people running with weights and we think they're getting by just fine. Or sometimes we justify it because we say, well, it's not that much weight. It's really not that much. And so we continually add really little things in our Christian life. Like a thought that I shouldn't be having that's tending me toward worry, but it's just a little thought. It's no big deal. And then where do little thoughts go? You start thinking about that, and then pretty soon, you ever wake up in the middle of the night and start thinking something? You think, I'll just think about that. And then pretty soon, man, well, this, and if that happens, and this, and pretty soon, you're totally depressed and you can't get back to sleep. I read an article in the Greeley Tribune years ago, June 1996, and it talked about a couple by the name of Holmes hiking from Mexico to Canada on a grueling trail through California, Oregon, and Washington. It was such an interesting article that arrested my attention that I'm going to read this article. And here's what they said in this article. Quote, everything they carried, they modified in weight. The way I look at it, one of them said, every single tenth of an ounce you pack, you have to carry 2,700 miles, Garrett Holmes said. They trimmed the rainfly on their tent. They removed excess zippers and buckles. They cut their sleeping bags to fit the contours of their bodies. They discarded lanterns and replaced them with birthday candles with trimmed wicks. They cut the back pockets off on their shorts. They cut the logo off their shorts. The cotton in the aspirin bottle they got rid of. Now, individually, you'd say, all right, just a pocket. Just the cotton. But you know, this is what happens in a Christian life. We keep stacking stuff, but they're little things. They're just little weights. By the way, these aren't sins. These are weights. And they're all so little that we never think about anything. And they're quoted as saying, quote, we're blowing by people with pots and pans hanging off their packs. And this is what happens in the Christian race. There's some Christians who are so loaded down with pots and pans, but I've got to have this, got to have that, got to have this, got to have that, that they can't understand how is this Christian so at peace in his heart? Why is this Christian doing so much for the Lord? Because that Christian's not weighted down. Abraham in chapter 11 and verse 13 would say, don't get enamored with things of this earth because we're only strangers and pilgrims. I loved reading about the pioneers in the olden days getting into their Conestoga wagons and so forth, and the wife insisting that you bring this trunk and you bring this and you bring that and you bring this. And you know, the dad saying, no, we've got to have this too because I've got to have my shop. And they would have these wagons, and they would say that on the trail, it was littered with stuff. People, after a while, once they got going, they said, can't have this anymore. This is loading us down. Throw it out, honey. Get rid of it. And pretty soon, by the time they got to Oregon or wherever they were going, they had what they really needed. You know, when we die, someone has said that no one has a hearse pulling a trailer or a U-Haul because you're leaving it all behind. And it's easy to let things become impediments. Moses, even when they were giving the offering for the tabernacle in the wilderness, remember what Moses had to do? The men came to him and said, Moses, the people give too much. We addressed this when we were going through the book of Exodus. Can you imagine an offering where people gave too much? Did we get too much in the offering this afternoon, by the way? No, because it's money. It's something that you can put into a bank account that is virtual. And, there it is. But what was happening in this day is they were bringing gold, silver, linen, and pretty soon they had enough. Any more would have impeded the priests and what they were to carry through the wilderness when they transported that tabernacle with all of its furniture and all of its linens throughout the wilderness. You find out how much junk you have when it comes time to move. And my wife is constantly knocking and throwing things out. She loves it. She goes to the house. Oh, I can throw this away. Oh, I can throw this away. It's like, huh. When I was in college, I felt obligated as if I was ever nominated for an office, well, it must be the Lord's will, and I would accept it. And there were times I was so overwhelmed because I had so many things to do that I finally realized something. You know, just because somebody nominates me for an office doesn't mean that I take it. Now, that's not an example for you to say, if I get nominated at the church, I've got too much to do, I'm not going to take it. What was happening is I was accepting too many. And I was getting weighted down. Things that were an honor, but things that I should not have involved myself in. I got involved in sports. I thought, you know what, this is my only time I'm going to go to college. I'm going to play sports. And it was intramural. So when it came time for basketball, I went out for basketball. Here's what the basketball schedule was. Practice at 5:30 in the morning. My job was late night cleanup. So I would go to bed at midnight or 12:30 in the morning and get up at 5:30. Then I went to class. Guess what I did in class? I got my nap. And I came to the conclusion, you know what? I am not here to play sports. I am here to study God's word to prepare for the ministry. And folks, there's times when we've got to say, you know what? I'm not here for this. I'm here for this. And I've got to cut this weight out. Now, what's the one thing that all Christians are here for? We are here to glorify God. If anything's getting in the way of that, it's a weight. And you need to dump it. It may be a good thing. It may be a thing that somebody else could rightfully do. There's nothing scripturally wrong with it, but for you, it's wrong. Because maybe it's one more thing that you shouldn't be doing that you've been involved in. Did you know that a spouse can be a weight? That dating somebody can be a weight. Sometimes we get involved in things we shouldn't be involved in, and pretty soon we're not even in church anymore. Why? Because, well, I've got too many things going. I've got this going. I've got Sounds like you took something on you shouldn't have taken on. How do you know if something is a weight? Well, here's one way to tell. When you're having your devotions with the Lord, what are the things that you think about that distract you from your devotions? When you're in church, like even right now, what are the things that you think about that distract you from listening to what's being said and that distract you from singing? Lay aside means take it off, lay it down, and leave it behind. And all of us have weights. Things in and of themselves that aren't necessarily bad, but they're weights. Next time we'll look at the sin that so easily besets us. But let's just remember the weights. What weight or weights are you carrying around that you need to jettison, that you need to get rid of? Father, we have so much time on this.